CRJ230, this is your podcast for weeks number 7 and 8, just before spring break. As a reminder, spring break comes after week 8. We resume class on March the 18th, and your assignment will be up there probably before spring break for week 9, at least before the end of spring break, and you should expect to come to work and get the work done by the normal deadlines for week number 9. You should also be aware that the schedules for summer and fall should be opening up pretty soon. I'll send things out to legal studies as to what you folks should do as far as enrollment. For anybody in criminal justice, law enforcement, or 911, I would suggest that you get a hold of Doug Huerman and get an appointment with him. There'll be information updated on icclaw.info. If you haven't been checking that, we post jobs for all these different programs there, and information is relevant to these careers. So go there. But to the left, you'll see enroll in legal studies or enroll in criminal justice, law enforcement, 911. And that information will be up to date after this week or around week number 7. I just need to find time to get to it. But make sure you remember those two things, spring break, and then also get your muffler fixed if you overheard that vehicle that just went by. Also, enrollment. Pay attention to it, because if you want the schedule you want for summer and fall, you need to do that. Get it early. Now, I'm going to talk about hearsay and the exceptions, more about just what hearsay is, and then the exceptions we'll discuss. But that's what you're going to explore the next 2 weeks. And everybody's heard of the term hearsay. In fact, you may have used it at some point and said, well, that's just hearsay. People occasionally use that phrase. It's a precise legal definition that often seems to be elusive and very well to be misunderstood. An example of hearsay evidence occurs anytime a person states in court, now they're in court on the witness stand, sworn in to testify, but they make a statement about what someone else told them outside of court. And that statement is offered for the truth of whatever that statement is offered to be. It's offered as being fact, okay? The truth. That's hearsay. The problem with those statements and why they're suspect and why we have a rule against hearsay, and then of course you'll find out in week number 8 that there's a whole bunch of exceptions to get around that hearsay rule, but let's focus on hearsay for now. The main reason is that we're not getting it straight from the horse's mouth. We're not able to cross-examine or test the competency, the truthfulness, all the things that we've come to know at this point in the semester are required for somebody to testify. That person isn't there. And we can't do any of those things with this statement that's offered from another person. I mean, as you know from your personal lives, information repeated by someone besides the person who made the statement originally is often suspect, not intentionally necessarily. If you ever played the telephone game, if we were all in a classroom, I'd probably make you play that. I would whisper some sentence of facts, some fact scenario to the first person in the room who would turn to the next person, and go all the way around the room repeating that statement. And then the last person to receive the information would tell us what they believed the information to be. More often than not, it's incorrect. not out of intention, but out of human nature. The information can be misstated or misconstrued, and the fact that you aren't able to get the information, explanations about the information, clarifications on the statement from the person who made the statement makes it suspect under evidence law. We want to get it straight from the horse's mouth. We'd rather hear the statement directly from the person who made the statement, and we refer to that individual under the law as the declarant. The declarant, D-E-C-L-A-R-A-N-T, the person who makes a statement is the declarant for the purposes of hearsay. So putting this in the context of a witness in court, and in particular statements made by a defendant in a criminal case, we must remember that a criminal defendant is not required to take the witness stand. And the cases that you're likely to present over the next 2 weeks will bear this out. They'll bear this scenario out. Defendant doesn't have to take the witness stand in a criminal case. Those of you who had civil litigation know that I can compel the defendant in a civil case to take the witness stand. Whole different expectation. Where an out-of-court statement has not been offered in court for the truth of its content, the statement is not considered hearsay. For example, when a witness makes a statement under oath in court that testimony is inconsistent with the statement of the witness on a prior occasion, the witness, the person sitting in the witness stand, another witness or someone who heard the prior inconsistent statement can be called to testify about that statement, to corroborate, to clarify, to do all those things we would want to do considering that statement. Now, this is an exception because it isn't offered for the content of the statement itself, but rather to indicate that the witness said something different or inconsistent with his or her in-court testimony at a prior time. It's for impeachment purposes. So it's not the witness offering a statement as the truth or for the truth of whatever that statement is asserted. And we don't have the person who made the statement present or able to be cross-examined, or the competence or truthfulness or veracity of their statement to be tested. This is where the witness themselves, they made a prior inconsistent statement with what they're testifying in court. People change their testimony. You've seen that already in cases, right? Perjury. It's an exception because it's offered for the content of the statement itself, or not offered for the content of the statement itself, I should say, but rather to indicate that the witness said something different or inconsistent at a prior time. As you'll see, when you get into exceptions to the hearsay rule, the defendant, statements that the defendant made, statements by any party in a case, civil or criminal, can always be presented by someone else if it goes to an issue in the case. That is not hearsay. That is, if it's a statement made by a party, it's called an admission. It's an exception outside of hearsay. And as you complete the reading, the research and discussion for this week, and focus primarily on what hearsay is, and that's what we're trying to focus on this week, although if most cases are going to talk about what hearsay is, it's going to be relevant to an issue of what exception a hearsay may have applied or didn't apply. Keep in mind the basic complaint against hearsay evidence, that the information isn't coming directly from the declarant. The declarant isn't in court. The statement repeated from one, from the person who made that statement, is being repeated from, isn't under oath. And so it may be less reliable than a person who has taken the oath, is sitting in the witness stand, is a subject to all those things we have discussed in prior weeks as being necessary for competent witness and testimony from competent witnesses. Now, as I said, in week 8, we turn to exceptions to hearsay. And as we look at hearsay and understand why we don't want those statements to come in, there's a whole bunch of exceptions that allow things that would otherwise be hearsay to come in, and for good reason. And so if you're going into anything law and justice, and especially criminal justice, and you're going to be in court, working with the court system, testifying in court, you have to understand the hearsay rule. And you have to understand the exceptions. Because if you don't, it leads to poorly prepared cases, either prosecution or defense. Remember, one of the reasons of the general rule that hearsay evidence is inadmissible is that the out-of-court declarant is not under oath to speak the truth. The very definition of hearsay is a statement other than one made by the declarant while testifying at the trial or hearing offered in evidence to prove the truth of the matter asserted. But the hearsay rule has many exceptions, and you should attempt to know and always recognize those exceptions. In addition, I'm going to preach that all of you, whatever your chosen path, should know what hearsay is, what the exceptions are, and then go and gather all statements and evidence. Do your investigations, hearsay or not. Document, document, and document everything that you're told or gathered or saw or watched, seen, written down, whatever it is. And then allow the lawyer, the prosecutor, the defense attorney, the lawyer you're working for, let them go and sift through and sort and make the final determination. But ultimately, the final determination as to the use or presenting those statements comes down to the judge. Ultimately, like most everything else we've discussed to date, the evidence in this case, whether something is hearsay or is accepted under one of the hearsay exceptions and may be considered by the trial, the trier of fact, the jury or the judge, that decision's up to the court, to the judge trying the case. There's a lot of interesting things in the next 2 weeks. Again, hearsay and more likely the various exceptions are going to play a large role in your future. So it's a good thing that you understand it compared to the layperson, the general public, the people that aren't working in law and justice. And that you use it to your advantage. That you work within hearsay and the hearsay exceptions. If you're going into law enforcement, your report, you know. If you don't have your report and review your report before you go to testify, you don't have your report available. I mean, it's an exception. It's something that you can use that most people can't. Doctors can refer to their medical reports, their business records. Excuse me. Spend the time necessary. Don't forget the requirements for getting back in by March the 18th. Last 8 weeks go fast. Don't forget to, you know, clue in on when the schedule's open. Start thinking about your summer and fall classes. In the summer in CRJ, we have Administration of Justice, which is essentially how not to get your butt in trouble if you're working in law enforcement. We have criminal law will be offered, but most of you have had that. and then internships, legal studies internship, CRJ internship if you're in 911 or law enforcement's a required course. And if you're in CRJ and you're kind of wondering, do I want to go into law enforcement or probation or is this really for me? Take the 8-week course. You'll know people to go out and spend, you know, the 96 hours with that agency, no. Excuse me. At the conclusion of that internship course, they know. I appreciate all your efforts these first 6 weeks. I look forward to your efforts the next two. If you need me, you know where to find me.